Okay, so today is Palm Sunday, and it's a day that commemorates the biblical episode that we're all familiar with, which is also called the triumphal entry. It's when Jesus mounted on a donkey, rode into Jerusalem, and the people shouted Hosanna, and they laid palms on the ground, and they waved their palms in the air. And Hosanna, of course, as many of you know, means, O Lord, save, or it's an entreaty, it's a prayer, it's really beseeching the Lord to save. It's, O Lord, save us, please, or please deliver us. So it's not just an expression of praise, it is also a request for deliverance and for salvation. And as the people were, of course, screaming and yelling out and going crazy and cheering like they were at the Final Four, going on about Jesus coming down the road to Jerusalem, Jesus' enemies, of course, didn't like this, and they told him to rebuke the people. Do you hear what they're saying? They're saying, Hosanna, that's reserved for the Messiah. So rebuke them. Tell them to be quiet. What's wrong with you? If you were any kind of a religious leader, you would know that this is blasphemy. So tell them to stop. And instead of telling them to stop, Jesus said, if they remain silent, the rocks will cry out. So he poured gasoline on the situation. And so today's message is titled, Why the Rocks Would Cry Out. Why the rocks would cry out. We've got songs about, I don't want a rock taking my place, and we've heard a lot about the rocks crying out. Well, let's talk about why the rocks would cry out if the people were silent. To get the answer, we're not going to turn to the episode that you're familiar with, the triumphal entry. What we're going to do is we're going to fast forward past that familiar scene outside of Jerusalem so many years ago, and we're going to move into the future. We're going to move into a time that is not yet, but a time that is coming, and a time that will be. And it's a time when Jesus was surrounded by yet another multitude. And I want you to turn there with me, the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's only about 14 verses. But let's look at the whole chapter of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. And I am reading from the New International Version. If you're reading from a different version, the words may be slightly different, but it is the same truth. Revelation 5, starting in... And for those of you who may not know, Revelation is the very last book in your Bible. And we're going to look at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things, all that is within them, singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Amen. Whew. That gets you going, doesn't it? This is referring to the same Jesus. This is the same Jesus who humbly sat on that donkey all those years ago, riding into Jerusalem with the multitude surrounding him, saying, "Hosanna." The same Jesus. The same Jesus that 5 days later was crucified. And that same mob, of course, instead of saying "Hosanna," yelling, "Crucify him." The same Jesus. Why would the rocks cry out? Simple. Because Jesus is worthy. Because Jesus is worthy of all praise from everyone and from everything. He's worthy of that, and all of creation knows it. The only people who are confused about it are people. But all of creation knows he is worthy. He was then, he is now, and he will be forevermore. It's not complicated. Why would the rocks cry out? Because Jesus is worthy. And he is not only worthy, he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Let me put this in perspective just to illustrate the point. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, there's a story of a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Roman centurion. And he was a worshiper of God, but he was not a believer. And so one day while he was worshiping, he had a vision. And an angel appeared to him, and the angel said, "Send for Simon Peter," a guy named Peter who's living with the tanner, "and get him to come back and talk to you." And so Cornelius did that. He sent for Peter, and Peter showed up. And given the fact that an angel had spoken to Cornelius, and given the fact that Peter showed up in response to the angel's directive, Cornelius did what most of us would do. He was awed by the sight of Peter, because Peter was especially sent by God to him in a vision. So this man was not just your Joe Blow. This was somebody especially sent to me through a vision from God. And so Cornelius bowed down before Peter. And Peter instantly said, "Get up. I am just a man, just like you. Get up." In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, they healed a man who had been born lame. And the man, of course, was excited, but so were all the people. And the people were so excited about this miracle that they worshiped that they came out and they began to worship Paul and Barnabas. They said, you both are gods, you know, you're Zeus and you're Hermes. And they tried to worship him. And it says that Paul and Barnabas tore their garments, said, "Whoa, don't give it to me. We aren't worthy. We are just men. We are human beings just like you." In Revelation 19, if you were to read a few chapters back, John, looking at the spectacle of what this angel was showing him and looking at the angel himself and how awesome this angel was, John the apostle fell down at the feet of this angel. And the angel said, "Don't do it. I may be awesome. I may be a sight you've never seen before. I may be a supernatural being. And yes, I'm all that, but I ain't that. Get up. I am, you know what I am? I'm a fellow servant with you." That's what the angel said. "I'm a fellow servant with you and for everyone who believes the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy." But John, he was still overcome. In Revelation 19, he does that. And then in Revelation 22, he does it again. He just can't get past himself. And he bows down again. The angel says, "Get up. I'm not worthy. He repeats it. "I'm a fellow servant with you and everyone who believes the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't put it on me. I'm not worthy. He alone. Is worthy." And we see this. Jesus had a different response in John chapter 9 when Jesus healed, you know the familiar story, the man who was born blind. Jesus healed him. He was so excited he went into the temple and they questioned him, questioned his parents. And he's the one who said, "Look, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I see." And it says they threw him out of the temple because he says, "Well, wait a minute. You know, who can open the eyes of the blind but God?" So he starts preaching to them. And they said, "Get out of here. You were steeped in sin. We are the religious leaders. We are the religious elite. We know what we're talking about. You out." And they threw him out. And Jesus found him. And it says Jesus asked him. Jesus asked him if he believed. And he said, "Lord, who is it?" He said, "I'm the one. I am the Messiah. I'm the one." And it says the man bowed down and worshiped him. And Jesus didn't say, "Get up." Jesus didn't say, "Only God is worthy." He received that worship. He received that worship. And in our text passage, which we read, or which I referred to, he goes even further. And he says, if the people weren't worshiping me, the rocks would. Not only am I not refusing it, if the people stopped, the rocks would cry out. See, according to the scripture, in the presence of God, the mountains leap. It says that in Psalm 114, the mountains leap. And it says in Isaiah 55, the trees clap their hands. And it says that the heavens, glorious heavens, they just say, "I declare. I declare." Amen. And I really like that. You know, that may be a bit of anthropomorphism, you know, and I used to love that word back in English class, you know, where you're assigning human traits to something that's not human, like talking dogs, rocks crying out. And Jesus might have been using a bit of that, except, one day the disciples are out in a boat. And this storm, raging winds and waves, not human, but he said to him, shut up, peace, be still, be quiet, you're making up too much noise, you're causing too much of a ruckus, I'm tired of you, peace, be still. And the disciples, of course, they said, who is this? Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? So, yeah, there may have been a little bit of poetry in this. You know, the rocks will cry out and you know, the mountains skipping and the trees clapping their hands, but not completely. No doubt, the rocks would have had a reaction. Because the scripture tells us in Zechariah chapter 14 that one day that same Jesus, Zechariah 14:4, that same Jesus is coming back to earth. And it says he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And when he stands on the Mount of Olives, it says it's going to split in two. And a big valley extending from east to west will result as a result of the presence of Jesus on earth. So Jesus wasn't exaggerating too much about this. Jesus said the rocks will cry out. He was saying, I deserve this. That's what he was saying. I deserve this. All of this. Now, how can someone who's gentle and humble of heart say that? Unless it's true. I deserve this. I don't know about all who came before me were liars, but I am the truth. And their praise, their worship is accurately placed. It belongs to me, and it belongs to me only because I am the one. I deserve the worship. I deserve the praise. Yes, and you don't understand. You have no idea how much more I deserve. If only you could have a flash of the scene that we just read about in Revelation. If only you could have a shot of me years from now, you would not be saying what you're saying. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know who I am. Yes. I have laid aside my privileges, as it says in Philippians. I have taken on the appearance of a man. Yes, as it says in Isaiah 53, there's nothing spectacular about my appearance that you should see me physically with your eyes as a king. But don't be mistaken. I know who I am. I left my privileges behind, but I did not leave my identity behind. I know who I am, and I deserve the hosannas that they are shouting out. I deserve them because I am the one. And unless you believe that I'm the one, you will die in your sins. You need to believe that I'm the one for your own sake. I don't need your glory. I had that before I came to earth. But you need to know that I am the real deal. You need to know that I'm the truth. So I'm telling you, if the people shut up, the rocks are going to cry out. Why? Because I'm the truth. Because I am the living truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And I know that about me. Why is he worthy? He's worthy. He's worthy because of what he is. He's worthy because of what he of who he is. He's worthy because of who he is. He's worthy because of what he did. And he's worthy because of what he is doing even now. He's worthy because of who he is, because of what he did, and because of what he is doing. He's worthy because of who he is. And who is he? Who is he? John 1:3 tells us, through him all things were made. And nothing that has been made was made without him. Who is he? He is the creator of heaven and earth. In Hebrews 1:3, it says he is the exact representation of the Father's glory. He is the exact carbon copy of God the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's who I am, and that's why I'm worthy. I created all of this. I created you, the earth, and everything in it belongs to me. And I have taken on the appearance and the form of a man, and I have come to earth, but I know who I am. And I want you to know who I am. So he's worthy because of who he is. In Romans 11:36, it says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. And so Psalm 95:6 exhorts us, come, let us bow down. Let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's what was going on, y'all, on that road. That's what was going on in Jesus' mind and why he said the rocks are going to. That's why. Because of who he is. Who he is. That he would let his enemies say anything about him. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, many of us have a very difficult time taking insults. And if they get too bad, we want to take some action. But despite the fact that he is who he is, he allowed them to have their opposition, to have their adversarial, to have them, allow them to throw their adversarial spears at him. But he's worthy because of who he is. But you know, he didn't just pull that card on us. He didn't just pull that trump card. I'm God and boom, there, worship me because I made you. He went further. He went further than that. He didn't just pull rank. He had every right to pull rank. The fact that I have life, the fact that he made me, he's worthy. The fact that he's the creator, he's worthy. Sometimes people have these theological issues with God's fairness. Who are you to talk back to God? I can do whatever I want to do because I'm God. I can do whatever I want to do. Don't you all understand that? It doesn't have to line up with the way you think. It doesn't have to line up to your idea of justice. It doesn't have to line up with your idea of love. It doesn't have to line up with your eye of wisdom. It doesn't have to line up with any of your thoughts. In fact, it won't, because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. So even if I wanted to explain it to y'all, you can't understand it. So leave me alone. You know, he could have gone there. And he could have stopped right there, but he didn't. He's worthy because of who he is, but he's also worthy because of what he did. And what did he do? What does it say in the text we read? You know why you're worthy? What does it say in the text? Verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll. Why? And to open its seals. Because you were slain. Because you were slain. That's why you're worthy. Because you were slain, and with your blood, you purchased for God. With your blood. Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Even though you were who you were, you didn't pull that card. No, you're worthy because you were slain. And you purchased for God with your blood. Men, people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Paul amplifies this in Philippians 2. It says that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him. Why is he exalted? Because of who he is, but because of what he did. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. There is no other name. Nobody else deserves it. Nobody else is worthy. Nobody else did this. Nobody else is that. And nobody else did this. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. I don't know who's under the earth, but they're bowing too. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him a hand for that. Yes, he deserves it. And he is worthy because of what he is doing now. See, he could have pulled the rank card and left it at that. He could have said, I died for you, and left it at that. That's more than enough. You've already done far above and beyond what we deserve. But he didn't stop there. He's worthy because of what he's doing in our lives every single day. He knows we are but dust. He knows we have short memories. He knows we're still flesh bound. He knows we're still earth bound. He knows that we still have an adversary who is the evil one. He knows that we have very short memories. And so he continues day after day to inspire our faith. He continues day after day to sustain our faith. And he continues day after day to reward our faith. That's what he does. He inspires us to believe. He sustains our belief. And then he rewards our faith so that we can see him operating in the now in our lives. We need that. He's placed his spirit inside of us so that we would continually be connected to him in a supernatural way. So it's and every single day his spirit is at work in us, reminding us, refreshing us, encouraging us, directing us. He's worthy because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Because of what he's doing now, today, as you sit there, as I sit here, as I stand here. We are here because of him. We're here because of him. We want to be here because of him. It's what he's doing. I have to testify. If you'll bear with me for just a minute, I'm going to close with this. I have to share with you some of my praise and some of the joy that I have with his caring for me in the now, and why what he's doing in the now causes me to cry out, Hosanna. and to cry out hallelujah and to cry out praise. Today marks, these are just some notes I wrote in my journal. I just wanted to share them with you in closing. Well, today marks, this was yesterday, well, today marks 39 years of service as a pastor. It's also the official start of my 40th year of pastoral ministry. My daughter always gets confused by this when, you know, when you're 39, you're actually starting your 40th year, you know. And when you get to 40, you've completed 40 years. But so when her son turned 8, when our grandson turned 8, I said, well, man, you're starting your 9th year. No, he's 8. So we keep going back and forth. No, he's past 8. He's moving towards 9, so he's in his 9th year. I don't want to hear it, you know. But I thank the Lord for all the ways and all the means of building me up and supporting me that he's used over the years to accomplish his work in me and through me. It has been a fascinating journey. To celebrate today is to celebrate the Lord, because I am a 100% grace of God production. And I know it. This is also April 1st. This is also a day of devastation and God's faithfulness in my life. It was a day when a massive earthquake struck my faith. 32 years ago today, a massive earthquake and circumstances which I believe, and we've all had this, circumstances which I had believed had been divinely created, led me to believe a particular result was ahead. God had set it up, and I just thought that that meant this result was coming. I was convinced, and I was blindsided by a different and totally unexpected reality. And that reality imploded structures. It destroyed familiar roads. And it left me dazed and completely disoriented in my faith. I was devastated. Not because of the outcome itself, but because everything I thought I knew about God and how to trust God and what trusting God meant, the structures that I had built, they'd been toppled and reduced to rubble. How would I ever be able to walk by faith again? How would I ever be able to walk the road that I've been traveling that is now collapsed and covered with debris? But it was then. That the Lord revealed to me that the best thing in life, it was then, in that place, amidst the rubble, that the Lord revealed to me that the best thing in life is not getting what I want, but getting to know Him. And the Lord revealed it. The Lord revealed it. What was lost that day, my expectation, the thing that I lost that day, was fleeting and fading. But what I gained has continued to grow and blossom and flourish. That day was the beginning. That day was the beginning of the heart of my ministry today, which features the amazing grace of God and the unsearchable riches of knowing Jesus Christ. That was the birthplace, the rubble. To know Him is to know His love for us. To know Him is to believe His love for us. It is to know that he's the source of love, because God is love. And all human expressions of love derive their source from him. He is the source of it all. And today, I can honestly tell you, standing here today, I can honestly say, I feel complete. As a pastor, 40 years, I feel complete. Not tired, not finished, but complete. Your word says, in him, you have been made complete, Colossians. And I feel that as a pastor. I don't want something else. I don't want something that's out there ahead of me or beyond me. There's nothing more I'm yearning to accomplish. I don't feel like there's something I need to prove to anyone or even to myself. I am driven today by the desire for more of what I already have. I'm driven by the desire for more of what I already have. More of my experience of you, Lord. And the more of the love I have for your people. I'm not looking for another path to follow. I just want a clearer focus on this one. I don't want something different. I want more of the same. And I want to thank you for all you've done for me and all you've been to me to make this true for me. You've made this true for me. I did not make this true for me. You made this true for me. He cares for us, brothers and sisters. He cares for us day by day in amazing, and we can all say amen, amazing and personal ways. And he does that to confirm and to reaffirm his love for us. That was demonstrated when he died on the cross for us all those years ago. And the rocks would cry out if the people didn't. And sometimes we feel like praising him. And other days, we don't feel like praising him. But whether we feel like it or not, he's always worthy. And the heavens are always declaring his glory. It doesn't matter what kind of day you had. You go outside and you look up at the heavens, you know what? They're still declaring that he's worthy. And that he is faithful. So may God open the eyes. May God do it. Open the eyes of our hearts to see his worthiness. To see it. He needs to show it to us. That his enemies didn't see it. He needs to show it to us. To see his worthiness. And may the awareness of his glory, as we see it, as we become aware of it, may it cause our hearts to cry out in praise. And may it fill us with a faith that causes us not only to be filled up with joy and overflowing, but to reflect that glory to the world around us, who desperately needs to know the one who rode down that road on that donkey that day. And the one who will stand in heaven one day and open the scroll. And I'm done. Is it palm passing out time? Palm passing out time. All right.
Hosanna in the highest, let our King be lifted up. Hosanna.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we say Hosanna to you. And we thank you, Lord, for coming, blessing us with the honor of your presence on this earth. Lord, we say thank you for coming. Thank you for doing what you did to make this moment of worship possible. Thank you for what you did to make each one of us family with you, as Robert was sharing earlier, and family with one another. And we thank you for your ongoing work, Lord, as you continue to reveal to us your riches, your person. And Lord, you've set us on a course where our eternal destiny is to continue to be amazed by the revelation of your kindness to us throughout all of eternity. So we say thank you, and we thank you that you did come and save us. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say, amen.